Good afternoon again, everybody. You can be turning your Bibles to you can go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to get there eventually. And one of the things about the message today is, you're going to hear a lot of passages that you're pretty familiar with. You're going to hear a lot of passages that you have probably studied, probably memorized, that sort of thing. But my encouragement to you today is to personalize some of these things and make them alive in your life on an individual basis. One of the things, as I mentioned in the first hour, is that we had our Bible Bowl in Wauseon yesterday, and was really impressed by the kids as a whole, that each and every team had at least one member who had memorized the whole thing. So like the senior team that won, all the members of that team had memorized 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 7. But, you know, I had a team with a couple of, 3 9-year-olds, and one of them had as well. And each and every team represented had somebody who had memorized all 7 of those chapters within the course of this past year. And so, that's certainly an encouragement. Because, you know, there's to see kids at that age putting work and effort into scripture memory as opposed to just going on the AAU circuit or, whatever it is that you could be spending your time doing, I think is pretty important. But it kind of worked out. I did a little bit of preaching on a few different things last week, but we've been talking about the, oh, I got to hit the select button here. There we go. Been talking about how our identity has changed in the waters of immersion. And that is absolutely the case, that our identity changes. But as we noted, you still have your individuality, and the Lord works with you to work through habits and things that you're going through. But the Lord also provides tools to help us to keep the picture, tools to help us to be successful. He is invested in our success. And the number one tool that we're going to take a look at, the first tool, is going to be the Word of God. Now, I'm not listing the Holy Spirit here because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that is given to us. He is indwelling us. That is who, we keep our spirit, but we have the Spirit of God. So I'm not really thinking about the Holy Spirit as a tool, because he's the one who is at work with all of these tools working inside of us. But I want to think about the Word of God and how the Word of God helps us to keep our minds on the things above. The Lord is interested in our success as a new creation, and the only way that we're going to be successful is to keep the picture of the glorified Christ in the front of our mind. And so he's given to us his word to help us to be successful. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 14. Second Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We talked about this actually in Sunday school last week a little bit, about how the Lord is the one who takes the veil away that allows us to see the glorified Christ. So whenever a man turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is actually taken away. And it is the Spirit, at the end of verse 13, that makes this entire process happens. But God's word there in the middle is the mirror that we stare into. And we have to make the choice to stare into the mirror. The Lord is not going to work against our will. The Lord is not going to take possession of our bodies in that sense and force us to look at the mirror of the Word of God. But He provides this tool that if we'll actually use it, it works. It works. The question is, will we use the tool that works? Go into James chapter 1. And because 19 and 20 are always good to read, we're going to start there. But we're focusing particularly on 21 through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. So we're looking into the mirror of the Word of God. And within looking at the mirror of the Word of God, the expectation is that we look and that we do. We're going to come back to that in a second. But if you notice verse 21, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Well, I thought we were saved in the waters of immersion. Well, we are. We are saved in the waters of immersion. And that's one of the things, too, is like, you know, we want to be really clear that a person is working out the contract of their salvation. Philippians chapter 2 talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Ultimately, the Lord helps us to overcome. But whenever a person is immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they are saved, period. They are headed to heaven, right? If they, they may not have tackled a single bad habit, you know, coming out of the waters of immersion. They may, they may drive out from here, get T-boned, and guess where they're headed? They're headed to paradise. Right? They're saved from that moment forward. Now, again, as we grow in Christ, we do work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We fulfill that contract, but again, it's a contract that is fulfilled by faith, not by works. Okay? And so a person, yeah, is in process of being saved, but that process of being saved really has to do with not with your ultimate destination, but having to do with continuing to be faithful and growing on a daily basis. And so when it says receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, well, you betcha it is. Because what is it that's going to get you through? What is it that's going to help you to continue to learn and to grow and to walk by faith other than the Word of God? How else are you going to get there? You're going to get there through the Word of God. How is it that you're going to know that the circumstances that you're facing aren't just arbitrary? That actually there's a process within this, that God is working his individual process within you for you to be able to look more like Jesus Christ. How you know that, other than the Bible says so? Think about for a second Abraham. Abraham, the man of great faith, the one, the father of the faithful. And you think about Abraham, he went through a lot. And you can kind of see the result of Abraham's faithful decisions. But I want you to consider for a moment the result of the faithful decision of Abraham when it comes to his being willing to sacrifice Isaac. Because, okay, let's just go back there and we're going to paraphrase some of the story. Okay, but God says, hey, look, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. You know, okay. I mean, we worked pretty hard to get to this point, Lord, right? Like, we went down the Ishmael road and that's not what you wanted. And we don't know exactly how old Isaac is, but okay, take your son, your only son, and I want you to go. I want you to sacrifice him. Okay. So he leaves and he takes his servants with him. I always kind of wonder what he told Mama that they were going to do. I bet he is a little light on the details. We're going to go out, me and the boy and the servants, and we're going to go sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, hon. So off they go, right? And they get to Mount Moriah there, and he tells the servants, hey, we'll be back. And Hebrews tells us that he considered that the Lord is able to raise men from the dead. Now, let's think for a second. Based on what? Anything that he had seen? Or any indication whatsoever up to that point in history that God had raised anyone from the dead? I mean, he took Enoch, right? But based on what? One of the reasons why Abraham's considered the father of the faithful is that he considered and reasoned through that. Because he said, okay, the Lord wants me to sacrifice Isaac. He's been pretty plain about that. And also, he's been pretty plain about the fact that the line is coming through Isaac. And so, I guess God's going to raise him from the dead. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. That he considered and reasoned his way through that. So, they go up to the mountain. Right? Which, by the way, you know, you do a little bit of geography. I think that might be by another hill called Calvary. You just might want to check that out. So they go up there, and, you know, Abraham's ready to get her done. Now, again, there's lots of different lessons that we're not going to touch on today, but, you know, Isaac is obviously willing and submissive to be able to do this because, you know, again, we don't know his age exactly, right? But we do know Abraham is 100 plus whatever Isaac's age is, right? And even if 100 plus whatever Isaac's age is not exactly the same as today, it's still real old, right? Real old. So, I mean, if we're taking Vegas odds, UFC fight Isaac versus Abraham, I'm putting my money on Isaac, you know, myself. And yet, who is it that Abraham is strapping Isaac down there, isn't he? It tells you some of the trust and respect that Isaac has for Abraham. And so Abraham goes to strike the lad, and they get to sacrifice a ram instead. The Lord stops him, right? He is about to go through with it, and the Lord stops him. Now, this is the point I wanted us to get to. We think, okay, man, that's really amazing. That's really cool. They come back down the mountain. He comes just like the rest, you know, we know the rest of the story. Isaac isn't slain. What do you think that was like for Abraham and Isaac? I bet it was uncomfortable. And there was a recognition and a faith in God there. But what are we going to tell mom when we get home? And why did this happen? Like from Abraham's perspective, Lord, did you need to test me again? I mean, the Lord already knew Abraham's faith, right? It needed to be revealed to Abraham what his faith was. And so from Abraham's perspective, if you put yourself with the rest of the story in Abraham's shoes, there could be a real question of why? Why this? And like, what does his faith accomplish? How many times are we looking for a direct result? I put in A effort and I expect B result. I expect to put these ingredients in and put the cake in the oven and get a cake out. Right? Or I expect to work in this area and receive this result. What's the result of Abraham being willing to sacrifice Isaac? What's the result? It's completely unseen. Because what God is setting up is God is setting up something that is going to take place 2,000 years on that Mount Calvary. He's setting up the sacrifice of his son for all of mankind. He's setting up the father being willing to sacrifice the son and that God can raise the dead. So it's not an element of I do this, I get this result. It's an element of God even today for us says, you be faithful. Because Abraham was doing something of tremendous importance and of tremendous significance, but it's not going to be revealed for another 2,000 years. And so, do we think that God really works that much differently today? That our faithfulness doesn't count or doesn't make a difference? Just because maybe we don't see the immediate result in the moment. See, those are the messages of faith that you really need when you're going through things of true significance and trying to see them through spiritual eyes. It is easy to just say, oh, well, whatever, and handle things like the rest of the world. But if you're going to live and walk by faith, guess what? You need a story like that. Because otherwise you're like, well, why are we putting the effort in? I expected a result, and God didn't do what I expected. So God must not be faithful. I'm glad that wasn't Abraham's perspective. How about you? So when we're taking a look at the Word of God, are we really reading to make application, to learn and to grow, to look at a passage like Abraham and Isaac and understand that the Lord is intimately involved in our lives and looking for faithfulness from us and that we're trusting him, that he's got the result even if that doesn't take place for another 1800 years? Is that how we're reading the scriptures? Are we contemplating that if we're in Christ, the Word is working in us, that God is using the Word to change us, that the Word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce even between joints and marrow, to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart? Is that how we're approaching the Word of God? Are we approaching it to learn and to grow, or are we approaching it in a way that is just transactional in nature? See, the Lord wants the Word to transform us, and the Word will change us in connection with the Spirit if we will allow it to. But we need to work to put it inside of us, to learn and to grow again, the Holy Spirit is using more than just the Word. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in our inner man if we are in Christ. But the Lord, but the Spirit will use the Word in us, and the Word will provide, will do work, will perform work in us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians 2:13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. The word of God will work in you who believe, but we have to learn, we have to read the word of God to learn and to grow today. See, we can't be reading the word of God to try to justify ourselves. Again, the Lord's the only one that can justify us anyway. We can't, you know, there's a sense in which there's, you know, good doctrine is the difference between life and death. So don't hear me wrong here. Okay, but we can't just be reading the word of God to get more proof texts to prove us right and your denominational friend wrong, right? You're going to get plenty of those, and your denominational friend is wrong, okay? But that can't be the reason why you're reading the Word of God. And the depth of our reading needs to be such that we're really doing it because we want the Word of God to permeate our lives, to give us the encouragement for when we truly do need it. And the Lord will perform its work in us if we will work with him. The Spirit will work with us to change us into the very image of Christ in glory. And it's meant to change us. It's meant to cut and to pierce. Right? What we don't want to do is we don't want to back away from that piercing. It may reveal things within us that we're not comfortable with, but we shouldn't shake hands with that. We should actually go to battle with the things that it reveals that are shortcomings, and let the scriptures work in us. Again, keep them in the planted, as the scripture talks about. It's the difference between life and death. We want the word of God to be working, and honestly, memorization is one of the great ways to do that. You guys have heard me say before, I think as adults, we really use a whole lot of excuses and cop-outs that are just that, excuses and cop-outs. They're like your memorization muscle. And again, I understand as well that I'm fairly young. But I think that a lot of times, a lot of us are bad at memorization because we haven't done it in a really, really long time. And not because, oh man, I'm just not as sharp as I used to be. Like, that's probably true for a lot of us, right? But it's like, okay, I think that there's like 10% of that, and 90% of memorization has a lot to do with, you know, it's like a muscle, right? And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the Word of God really does need to be implanted if we want to be able to be successful, because this is life. You know, we quote passages like, your word, and I've got it listed on the next slide, your word is a light lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do we really believe that? Do we think that it's the word of God, it's through the word of God that we know where to go and where not to go? Or is that just nice to put on a greeting card, or, you know, you got to put something on the cover of the Bible, right? Like, do we really believe that the Word of God is going to illumine our path so that we're able to walk in wisdom and be pleasing to Him as we live by faith today? See, I think sometimes some of this is not actually all that complicated. It's pretty simple. That doesn't mean it's easy, okay? But I think that sometimes we crave complicated, right? Give me a complicated plan, and I can spend a lot of times devising this plan and like making it all intricate and detailed. And one of the reasons why we do that is because we're a little bit hesitant to actually go execute the plan. Like, maybe it's not all that difficult. Maybe it's it's not that complicated. And really what we need to do is to execute the simple plan. Romans chapter 2, or Romans chapter 12. Again, I told you there's a lot of these verses that are very familiar. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the Lord says, hey, renew your mind. You want change? The Lord has provided his Spirit to change us, and he's provided all of these tools. We're starting with the Word of God. We're going to talk some about prayer probably in a couple of weeks. He's provided us with these tools. You want to win? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by getting the Word in. So again, my goal for today is really for you to make this real. So be in the Word with those who are close with you. Whether that looks like family devotions, whether that looks like your spouse, be in the Word and make it fun. One of the things that I've noticed is that I do way better at my personal memorization when I'm memorizing with somebody else. Okay? Because there's a couple of things there. They know exactly what it's like. Okay? It's kind of funny. I had the kids at Friday Night Fellowship this past Friday. I had them tell me what their most difficult chapter to memorize was. And it was very interesting because a couple of the same chapters came up because they're just like fundamentally more difficult than the other chapters, right? I was a little bit surprised that 2 Corinthians 5 came up because to me the back half of 2 Corinthians 5 is so much easier than the front half. But I basically, the back half, we have so much familiarity with it. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, right? Old things have gone, behold, new things have come. And, talking about the themes of, therefore be reconciled to God, right? As ambassadors of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. But the first part of that was talking about the earthly tent, which is our house was torn down. We have a building made from God, eternal in the heavens. That part of it's a little bit more difficult. But so 2 Corinthians 5 was one of the ones that they talked about, but then 2 Corinthians 6 is another one that they talked about. And if you want to flip over just for fun over to 2 Corinthians 6. Now, different brains work differently, and that's one of the things that's kind of cool to see within that. But I'll tell you what was not particularly easy for me to work through is starting in verse 4. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance and afflictions and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger and purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and genuine love and the word of truth and the power of God by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good requited as deceivers and yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Those were not the easiest verses to memorize. Because it's just a bunch of lists. And it's like, well, what now? And like, how are these connected? And all of that. So it's like, that's a little bit more difficult. Well, you know what's, it's a whole lot easier to have somebody else who's working through that with you. It's going to be like, hey, we can do this. Might take a little bit longer, right? But we can do it. We can get through, right? Because, let's ask this question. Is it easier to go to the gym by yourself or with somebody else? You might be annoyed with the other person if they're a blabber, right? But it's easier to go with somebody else because they're going to help hold you accountable. Because the day that you really don't want to do leg day, right? It's always leg day. We don't want to do leg day. Okay, when it's time to do leg day, okay, they're like, hey, let's still go, right? It's the same way here. You have to be in the Word with those who are close to you. Again, whether that looks like family devotions, you got to be in the Word. And then you spur one another on to grow. Hey, we can do this. Let's not be excuse makers. Let's be people who actually make it happen. If you're in a study with somebody where you're being studied with and you're working through some sort of Bible reading plan or something, write down questions, right? You know, sometimes we focus too much on volume of Scripture, and that's how sometimes it can become transactional. Not that volume isn't important. I think that there's actually a time and a place for that too. I really like a lot of those audio Bibles, and you know, you can kind of just have it on in the background and it's really helpful. But like, maybe just take a chapter of what you're working through and make sure that you get one really good solid question out of it. If you're working at it, right, you usually find at least one question in a chapter. But yeah, work at it. And then also be inspired. You know, I think if the 9-year-olds can do it, I probably can too. Now, you could say, well, they have a lot more time than I. Well, that's true. They do have, but they're 9. Okay? Like, I think you can figure this out. Yeah. And so God gives us the tools to win. God wants us to win, so let's be determined to win. He has provided the tool of his word, and he wants us to go in the right direction. Finally here, you know, so to the things of the Spirit. One of the things that we have a tendency to do is that we'll do something like get in a new Bible reading plan or be committed to memorization, or you fill in the blank, family devotions, you fill in the blank here, and then we'll do it for like a week and a half, and then we'll be like, well, you know what? You said that things would change, and that the core of really what's going on has to do with people aren't spending enough time in the Word of God, and I've done this for a week and a half, and nothing's different. You were wrong. There's a time delay, guys, right? And my encouragement is, let's test it out. Let's test it out for a good long while, and let's see if what God has promised he's able to perform or not. Pretty sure that you'll find what God has promised, he is able to perform. David.